Narnia by C.S. Lewis, The Magician's Nephew, dramatized by Brian Sibley. The storyteller is Morris Denham.
The tales of Narnia, which I'm going to tell you, began long, long ago. When I was a boy, and your great-grandparents were children. Queen Victoria was still on the throne, and there were gas lamps and hansom cabs in the streets of London. When my story begins, I'd just come to London, after having always lived in the country. I didn't like London, or the great big house belonging to my uncle where my mother and I had come to stay. I don't think I'd ever been more miserable in my life as I was on the day when I scrambled up onto the garden wall and, looking into the next-door garden, saw a girl staring up at me.
Hello.
Hello. What's your name?
Polly Plummer. What's yours?
Diggory. Diggory Kirk.
What a funny name.
It isn't half as funny as Polly Plummer.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
At least I washed my face, which is what you need to do. Especially when you've been...
So I've been crying. So would you if you'd been brought to live in a hole like this.
London isn't a hole.
And if your father was away in India. And if your mother was ill. I'm going to die.
I'm sorry. I didn't know. Do you want to climb down into my garden?
All right. I don't mind. I'm sorry, Polly.
It doesn't matter. Is Mr. Kettley really mad?
Well, he's either mad or there's some other mystery.
What do you mean?
He's got a study on the top floor, and Aunt Letty says I must never go up there. That sounds pretty fishy, doesn't it?
Yes, I suppose it does.
And another thing, whenever he tries to say anything to me at mealtimes, he never even tries to talk to her. She always shuts him up. Don't worry the boy, Andrew. I'm sure Diggory doesn't want to hear about that. Now, Diggory, wouldn't you like to go out and play in the garden?
What sort of things does he try to say?
I don't know. He never gets far enough. But there's more than that.
What?
Last night, something strange happened.
Go on.
Well, I'd gone to say goodnight to my mother.
I hope you're behaving yourself, Diggory. Only we mustn't annoy Aunt Letty and Uncle Andrew. Not when they've been so kind to us.
Yes, Mother.
Oh, Diggory, I'm so sorry about all this. You must be tired of being stuck in London.
That doesn't matter. If only you could get better again.
Oh, I wish I could, darling. I really do.
Oh, come along now, Diggory. Your mother's got to get her rest. And it's past your bedtime, too.
But couldn't I just...
You do want your mother to get better, don't you?
Yes, but...
Well, hurry along, then.
It's all right, Diggory. I'll see you in the morning.
Good night.
Good night, dear.
I was on my way to bed, and I was just going past the foot of the attic stairs, when suddenly I heard a terrible scream.
What was it?
I didn't wait long enough to find out.
How exciting! I never knew your house was so interesting.
You may think it's interesting, but you wouldn't like it if you had to sleep there, and lie awake listening for Uncle Andrew to come creeping along the passage to your room. And he has such awful eyes.
Diggory, it's time for lunch. Come in and wash your hands.
I'll have to go. Look, can I see you again?
Come back this afternoon, and I'll show you something special about my house. Although it's not as exciting as your Uncle Andrew.
That afternoon, Polly took me up to the top of her house and through a little door into the attic, where she'd made a den. Then I had an idea. If the tunnel went on far enough, we could climb through and perhaps even get in and explore a house further along the row, which had been empty now for ages. Using candles to see by, we set off, carefully counting the numbers of rafters, until I felt sure we were opposite the door into the attic of the empty house.
There's no handle on it.
It wasn't meant to be used from this side. Wait a minute. There's a catch.
Can you do it?
I've nearly got it. There.
Diggory, it's not empty at all. It's full of furniture. I wonder who's living here.
It was shaped, of course, like an attic, but furnished as a sitting room. Every bit of the walls was lined with shelves, and every bit of the shelves was full of books.
It's all right. There's no one here. Let's go in.
But supposing someone comes?
Let's just have a quick look.
So, in we went. A fire was burning in the grate, and in front of the fireplace, with its back towards us, was a large armchair. Between the chair and us, and filling most of the middle of the room, was a big table, piled with all sorts of things.
Here's a microscope.
And just look at all these books. What strange writing.
I wonder what all these symbols mean.
And whatever are these?
There was a bright red wooden tray on the table. And on the tray were a number of coloured rings.
They're in pairs. A yellow one and a green one together. Then a space, then another two. What do you think they're for?
What indeed?
Uncle Andrew!
Well, this is a pleasant surprise, Diggory. There I was, sitting by the fire, never for a moment expecting any company, when, lo and behold, visitors.
I'm sorry, Uncle Andrew. You see, we thought...
Oh, don't worry, my dear boy. I'm delighted to see you. Two children are just what I wanted.
Mr. Ketterly.
Diggory, where are your manners? Aren't you going to introduce me to your young companion?
I'm Polly Plummer, and it's nearly my tea time, so I've got to go home.
Oh, not just yet. This is too good an opportunity to miss. You see, I'm in the middle of a great experiment. I've tried it on a guinea pig, and it seemed to work. But then a guinea pig can't tell you anything, and you can't explain to it how to come back.
Look here, Uncle Andrew. It really is tea time, and they'll be looking for us in a moment. You must let us out.
Must?
If you let us go now, we could come back after tea.
Ah. But how do I know that you would?
We give you our word.
Well, if you really must go, I suppose you must.
Thank you, Mr. Ketterly.
But before you go, I must give you a present.
Come on, Polly.
Wouldn't you like one of those rings, Polly, my dear?
Do you mean one of those yellow or green ones? How lovely.
Not a green one. I'm afraid I can't give the green ones away, but I'd be delighted to give you any of the yellow ones.
Polly.
Come and try one on.
That sound. It seems to be getting louder. It's almost as if it were coming from those rings.
What a strange thing to say, my dear. Now, choose any yellow ring you like.
Polly, don't touch them. She's gone. Where is she?
Be quiet. If you start making a noise, your mother will hear.
But Polly!
And you know what a fright might do to her.
But what's happened to Polly?
Congratulate me, my dear boy. My experiment has succeeded.
What have you done to her?
Sent her to... Well, to another place.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll tell you all about it. Now, sit down a moment, my boy. Diggory, have you ever heard of old Mrs. Le Fay?
Wasn't she a great aunt or something?
Not exactly. She was my godmother. That's her picture there, on the wall. What's the matter, boy? Don't you like the look of her?
Wasn't there something wrong about her, Uncle Andrew?
Well, it depends what you mean by wrong. People are so narrow-minded. She gave me something, Diggory, a little box. And the moment I took it, I could tell by the pricking in my fingers that I held some great secret.
I don't have long to live, Andrew. And as soon as I'm dead, I want you to burn this box unopened and never, ever mention it to another living soul. Do you understand, Andrew? Yes, of course you do. And you promise to do as I've asked, don't you?
That promise I did not keep.
Then you should have.
Very true, most right and proper, I'm sure. But, of course, you must understand that rules of that sort, however excellent they may be for little boys, can't possibly be expected to apply to great thinkers. No, Diggory. Men like me, who possess hidden wisdom, are freed from common rules, just as we are cut off from common pleasures. Ours, my boy, is a high and lonely destiny.
So you opened the box?
Oh, not at first. I didn't dare, for I knew it might contain something highly dangerous. The first thing I did was to study the box itself. All I knew at first was that it was very ancient. And then, one day, I discovered the truth. It was Atlantean.
What does that mean?
It means, my dear Diggory, that it came from the lost island of Atlantis.
Look, Uncle Andrew, what about Polly?
Patience, my boy, patience. I haven't finished my story. I spent all my time studying magic until I came to have a fair idea of what might be in the box. Although to do so, I had to get to know some strange people and go through some very unpleasant experiences.
Agradore Eldarath Fidelos, surmodest et mendil, teregamen videga.
That was what turned my hair grey. But at last I actually knew.
Knew what?
The Atlantean box contained something that had been brought from another world, when our world was only just beginning. I broke the seal and opened the box.
What was inside?
Only dust. Fine, dry dust. Nothing much to look at. Not much to show for a lifetime's work, you might say. But when I looked at that dust, I took great care not to touch it, and thought that every grain had once been in another world. I don't mean another planet, for they are part of our world, but a really other world, reached only by magic. Well, I knew that if only there was some way of getting it into the right form, that dust would draw you back to the place it had come from. But my earlier experiments were all failures. I tried them on guinea pigs. Some of them only died. Others burst like little bombs.
What a cruel thing to do.
Cruel? That's what the creatures were for. But at last I succeeded in making the rings, the yellow rings. But then a new problem arose. I was pretty sure now that a yellow ring would send any creatures that touched it into the other place. But what would be the good of that if I couldn't get them back to tell me what they had found there?
And what about them? A nice mess they'd be in if they couldn't get back.
Your trouble, Diggory, is that you look at everything from the wrong point of view. Can't you understand that the whole thing is a great experiment? The whole point of sending anyone into the other place is that I want to find out what it's like.
Then why didn't you go yourself?
Me? Me? You must be mad. A man at my time of life and in my state of health, to risk the shock and the dangers of being flung into a different universe. I never heard anything so preposterous. Do you realize what you are saying? Think what another world means. You might meet anything. Anything.
So you sent Polly instead? You're nothing but a coward. So, how can we get her back?
I was just going to tell you. I found a way of doing the return journey. The green rings, they draw you back.
But Polly hasn't got a green ring.
No. Exactly.
Then she can't get back.
Oh, but she can get back. If someone else will go after her, wearing a yellow ring for himself, and taking two green rings, one to bring himself back and one to bring her back.
I suppose you planned the whole thing so that she'd go without knowing it, and then I'd have to go and bring her back.
But of course.
Very well. What do I have to do?
That's better. First, I put on these gloves. You see, the rings only work if they're actually touching your skin. Wearing gloves, I can pick them up quite safely. See? Now, I take these two green rings and drop them into your right-hand pocket. Now, remember that very carefully. G for green and R for right. G-R, you see? The first two letters of green. One for you and one for the little girl. And now, you pick up a yellow ring for yourself. I should put it on your finger. If I were you, there'd be less chance of dropping it.
Look here, what about Mother? Supposing she asks where I am?
The sooner you go, the sooner you'll be back. Unless, of course, you prefer to go down and have your tea, leave the little girl to be eaten by wild animals, or drowned, or starved in the other world, or be lost there for good. And maybe before tea, you'd like to drop in on Mrs. Plummer and explain why she'll never see her daughter again.
All right, I'm going. But I just wish I was big enough to punch her in the nose.
Uncle Andrew and his study vanished instantly, and then, for a moment, everything became muddled. The next thing I knew, there was a soft green light coming down from above and darkness below. I didn't seem to be standing on anything or sitting or lying, and nothing appeared to be touching me.
I think I'm in water or underwater.
Well, this frightened me for a second, but then suddenly I felt myself rushing upwards. And I found myself scrambling ashore, out onto smooth, grassy ground at the edge of a small pool in a wood.
That's strange. I'm perfectly dry. I'm sure I was underwater. And yet, I'm not wet. And I'm not out of breath.
The trees grew so close together and were so leafy that I couldn't see the sky. But there must have been a very strong sun overhead because the wood was full of
green light. And it's so bright and warm.
It was the quietest wood you could possibly imagine.
There are no birds. No insects. No animals. No wind.
And yet it was very much alive. I could almost feel the trees growing. And then I made another discovery. The pool I just got out of was not the only pool.
Dozens of them. Everywhere. For as far as I can see.
I could almost feel the trees drinking up the water with their roots. It was then that I noticed the girl, lying at the foot of one of the trees. Her eyes almost shut in sleep, but not quite.
I think I've seen you before. I think I've seen you, too. Have you been here long?
Oh, always. At least, I don't know. A very long time.
So have I.
No, you haven't. I've just seen you come up out of the pool.
I suppose I did. I'd forgotten. Hello. What's that?
Why, it's what are they called? A guinea pig. Yes, a guinea pig.
Yes.
That's what it is. And it's got a ribbon tied round it. A ribbon with
a ring. And look, you've got one on your finger. So have I.
What does it mean? I can't remember.
We've got to try. Think. Think.
Mr. Kettley!
Uncle
Andrew. Of course! It's all come back to me now.
How could we have forgotten?
What shall we do now? Take the guinea pig and go home?
Oh, there's no hurry.
Oh, I think there is. This place is too quiet. It's so dreamy. You're almost asleep. If we once give in to it, we shall just lie down and sleep forever and ever.
It's very nice here.
Yes, it is. But we've got to get back. I'll catch the guinea pig. Although, I suppose we might as well leave it here. It's perfectly happy. And your uncle will only do something horrid to it if we take it home.
I bet he would. Look at the way he's treated us. By the way, how do we get home?
Go back into the pool, I expect. Come on.
We went and stood together at the edge, looking down into the smooth water. It was full of the reflection of the green, leafy branches and looked very deep.
I don't like this, Diggory.
It's all right. Take my hand. Now I'll count. One, two, three, and we'll jump. Ready? One, two, three, go!
We haven't gone anywhere. The water's only up to our ankles.
Let's go back to the bank.
What on earth's gone wrong?
I know. course it won't work. We're still wearing the yellow rings. They're for the outward journey, you know. The green ones take you home. I'd forgotten all about that. We must change rings. Have you got pockets?
Yes.
Good. Put your yellow ring in your left pocket. I've got two greens. Here's one for you. Now let's try again. One, two...
Wait a minute.
What?
I've just had a really wonderful idea. What are all the other pools?
How do you mean?
Well, if we can get back to our world by jumping into this pool, we might get somewhere else by jumping into one of the others. Suppose there's a world at the bottom of every pool.
You mean this wood might be only one of them?
No, I don't believe this wood is a world at all. I think it's a sort of in-between place. This is just a wood between the worlds. I think we can get out of this place and go into jolly well anywhere.
The wood between the worlds. Sounds rather nice.
Come on, which pool shall we try?
I'm not going to try any new pool, so we've made sure that we can get back by the old one.
And get caught by Uncle Andrew? No, thanks.
Couldn't we just go part of the way down, just to see if it works? Then if it does, we'll change rings and come up again before we reach Mr. Ketterly's study.
But can we go part of the way down?
Well, it took time coming up. I suppose it'll take a little time going back.
All right, but don't blame me if it's the last we see of this place. I'll shout change when we're nearly there.
No, you won't. I will, or we'll not change at all.
Oh, very well. Come on, then. Give me your hand. Now, one, two, three, go.
Everything happened so quickly. At first there were bright lights, stars, planets moving about in a black sky. And then almost at once there were rows and rows of roofs and chimney pots.
There's St. Paul's Cathedral. It's London.
You can see through the walls of the houses. Look, there's Uncle Andrew in his study and he's coming closer.
Change!
So we changed rings. And our world faded away again like a dream. And the green light above became stronger and stronger.
There. That's all right. Now for the adventure. Any pool will do. Come on, let's try that one.
Stop!
What's up?
Aren't we going to mark this pool?
Crumbs. I never thought of that. I've got my penknife. Look, I'll cut a strip out of the grass.
Well, I must say, it's a good thing one of us has some sense.
All right, don't keep on about it. There's no mistaking which pool is ours now. Come on, we'll try this pool. Ready?
Ready.
One, two, three, go! Blast! What's gone wrong now? We've got our yellow rings on. Yellow for outward journeys, Uncle Andrew said.
I don't believe he knows anything about it.
I think you're right, Polly. He's never even been here. Let's try the green rings.
Do you think we should?
Well, if it doesn't work, we'll go home again. Agreed?
Agreed.
Green rings on, then. Right, here goes again. One, two, three, go!
It worked!
Down and down we rushed, first through darkness and then through a mass of vague and whirling shapes. Gradually it grew lighter, and then suddenly we were standing on something solid. And a moment later everything came into focus and we were looking about us.
What a strange place. I don't like it, Diggory. Some kind of courtyard. These buildings look terribly old. There's windows everywhere.
But there's no glass in them. Nothing but black darkness.
Look at those arches. Like railway tunnels.
The buildings. Everything's red.
I don't think it's the buildings. I think it's the light that's red.
But I feel so cold.
The sky's as black as night. They've got funny weather here. Perhaps there's a thunderstorm coming. Or an eclipse of the sun.
Diggory, I really don't like this.
I wonder if anyone lives here.
I shouldn't think so. Half the place is in ruins. And there isn't a sound.
Let's stand still and listen for a bit.
It's almost as quiet as the wood between the worlds. Except that this is a different kind of quietness. Somehow more dead. Cold. Empty. Oh, let's go home.
But we haven't seen anything yet. Now we're here, we must have a look around. We can get away the moment we want to. Let's take off our green rings and put them in our right-hand pockets.
All right.
Now, keep your hand as near your left-hand pocket as you like, but don't put it in or you'll touch your yellow and vanish.
Diggory, don't let's take any chances.
We'll be careful. Come along.
It's very dark inside.
We'll just take a peep.
It's a great hall, but it's just as empty as everywhere else.
I bet there hasn't been anyone here for hundreds of years.
More likely thousands of years. It doesn't look too safe to me. There's a pillar missing there, and the way that wall's bulging, it might fall any minute.
Well, if it's lasted till now, I reckon it'll last a bit longer. But we must be very quiet. Any noise might bring it all down, you know, like an avalanche.
Oh, come on, let's go outside again. There's a doorway over here.
It's another courtyard.
Oh, look, Diggory, a fountain. Except that it's not working.
Shouldn't think it's worked in years. It's as dry as a bone and full of dust. This stone animal on top is where the water must have come out. See? There's a pipe in its mouth. It's a nasty-looking thing, isn't it?
Griffin, I think it's called.
Thank goodness there aren't really such things.
In our world, maybe. Here, well, who knows?
Maybe we should think about going back, Polly.
Wait a minute. Look at those doors over there.
Do you think they're gold?
Could be. They look like it.
One of them's half open. Let's take a quick look.
Diggory, the room's full of people. Dozens of them.
They're not moving. Just sitting there. I don't think they're real people at all. Perhaps they're statues.
Or waxworks. They've got real clothes on.
So they have.
I can hardly describe the clothes. The figures were all robed and had crowns on their heads. Their robes were of crimson and silvery grey, and deep purple and vivid green. And there were patterns and pictures of flowers and strange beasts in needlework all over them. Precious stones of astonishing size and brightness stared from their crowns and hung in chains around their necks.
Why haven't these clothes all rotted away long ago?
Magic. Can't you feel it? I bet this whole room's just full of enchantment. I could feel it the moment we came in.
I wonder who they were. Great kings and queens, I should think. They're much taller than people in our world.
They were nice people, I think.
Yes. Except... what? Well, those first few look nice. But these ones are different.
You're right. It's as though they were changing as you moved along the line.
Diggory, look at these faces. They look cruel somehow.
And these ones look even worse. At least those last few people looked happy. These are the most unhappy people I've ever seen.
It's as if something terrible had happened to them.
Or as if they'd done terrible things to other people.
Here's the last figure of all.
There sat a woman even taller and more richly dressed than the others, with a look of such fierceness and pride that took your breath away. Yet she was beautiful, too. I don't think I've ever in all my life known a woman so beautiful.
She's beautiful.
I don't think there's anything that special about her.
Anyway, she's the last.
There's a lot of empty chairs, though, as if the room had been meant for more figures.
I do wish we knew the story behind all this.
There's something over there, on that table sort of thing. Why, it's a little golden arch with a golden bell.
And a golden hammer. To ring it with, I suppose. I wonder.
There seems to be something written here.
So there is. But of course we won't be able to read it.
Won't we? I'm not too sure.
But Polly, look. The letters it's written in aren't even from our alphabet.
But if we just try to read it...
And then a great wonder happened. For as we looked, though the shape of the strange letters never altered, we found that we could understand them. As I'd guessed, it was an enchanted room, and its magic was beginning to work.
Make your choice, adventurous stranger.
Strike the bell and bide the danger.
Or wonder till it drives you mad.
What would have followed if you had? No fear, we don't want any danger.
But don't you see? It's no good. We can't get out of it now. We should always be wondering what would have happened if we'd struck the bell. I'm not going home just to be driven mad by always thinking of that.
Don't be silly. As if anyone would. What does it matter what would have happened?
I expect anyone who's come as far as this is bound to go on wondering till it sends him crazy. That's the magic of it, you see. I can feel it beginning to work on me already.
Well, I don't, and I don't believe you do either. You're just putting it on.
That's all you know. It's because you're a girl. Girls never want to know about anything but clothes and people being in love or having babies.
You looked exactly like your uncle when you said that.
Why can't you keep to the point? What we're talking
How
about
How exactly
is...
like a man, and don't say I'm just like a woman.
I wouldn't dream of calling a kid like you a woman.
Oh, I'm a kid, am I? Well, you needn't be bothered by having a kid with you any longer then. I'm off. I've had enough of this place, and I've had enough of you too.
Keep your hand away from that ring.
Let go, you're hurting Diggory.
I'll let go when I've rung the bell.
Diggory, don't!
Well, it's over anyway.
What's that? Oh, no.
Look, the last of the figures. She's getting up. The beautiful woman.
Diggory, what have you done?
Who has awakened me? Who has broken the spell?
I think it must have been me.
You? You? But you are only a child. A common child. Anyone can see at a glance that you haven't a drop of royal or noble blood in your veins. How did such as you dare to enter this house?
We've come from another world, by magic.
Is this true, boy?
Yes, it is.
Let me look at your face.
Ow!
You are no magician. The mark of it is not on you. You must be the servant of a magician. It is on another's magic that you have travelled here.
It was my Uncle Andrew.
There is great peril here. The whole place is breaking up. If we do not leave at once, we shall be buried under the ruin. Give me your hand, boy, and you, girl. Quickly, both of you. The place will not stand for much longer.
This is your palace?
Mine and my people. This was the old banqueting hall where my great-grandfather bade 700 nobles to a feast and killed them all before they had drunk their fill. They had rebellious thoughts. That is the door to the dungeons, and that passage leads to the principal torture chambers. And here are the great gates.
They're huge.
Solid ebony barred with bronze.
How will we open them?
Silence! Fangrats, Staggots, Garnak!
They've just crumbled away.
Has your master magician, your uncle, power like mine?
Well,
I shall know later. In the meantime, remember what you have seen. This is what happens to things and to people who stand in my way. Come.